Hello, world.
Radio.
Welcome again, once again, to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone, bringing you the best of Block Talk Radio live this October 22nd. You know, it's nice to be here tonight. For the last several weeks, every time this show has started, and all the news shows on TV, the radio, media, newspapers, magazines had to do with the shutdown, the debt ceiling, and everything else, and that seemed to be our whole lives. It consumed us. It drove me crazy, as I am sure it drove you crazy. We don't have that to talk about tonight, really. I might get into it a little bit someplace along the way. I don't know. But it's like a relief. You know, it's like going on vacation that first day on the beach. You say, oh, my God, isn't this wonderful? All right. If you wish to call in and talk with me, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Feel free to call in. Disagree with me, agree with me, say hello. If you are so moved. Many things happened this week. There's no denying it. Not necessarily, though, again, as grievous, but I'm going to start off probably with an extremely grievous incident. There was another school shooting this week. Another school shooting. Will they ever end? In Sparks, Nevada, a teacher and the student doing the shooting were killed. Plus two students were wounded. The news reports indicate that the 12-year-old shooter, he was only 12, was a nice kid, quote unquote. He used a 9mm pistol. So far, the news claims he obtained it at home and brought it from his home. I make mention of this, you've seen it in the news, because I want to know something. I want to know when all of this is going to end. These school shootings are ongoing. When is this country going to get irritated about it, pissed off about it, enough to do something about it? I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment with reasonable restraints, so don't get me wrong. But when are the gun lovers going to understand everything has rules and regulations? Everything has constraints in life. Nothing is absolute. You know, they say we have freedom of speech. Don't yell fire in a crowded theater. You'll probably do 5 to 10 years in jail. So, and there's something else here that bothers me. I'm bothered by the NRA, obviously. Many of you are. Some of you aren't. I'm bothered by the fact that they are, in effect, a great lobbying group supported big time by the gun industry. And I'm upset. I'm not disappointed because I understand these things now, but I'm upset and aggravated that our congressmen pay attention to these gun lobbyists, because what the hell? They're giving them... They support them in their campaigns with big dollars through these PACs and everything else. They get all kinds of perks. They get free flying trips here and there. They go to conferences that are vacations in reality. They got it all going for themselves. And that's why they do it. And I think that's wrong, because I think our Congress is reaching the point where perhaps we're going to start considering them. I apologize for the use of the term. Whores. What bothers me the most is something I heard on television tonight. Were you aware? Because I wasn't. I was not aware of that which I am about to relate. There is a school shooting in the United States every 11 days. Every 11 days there is a school shooting. When will we do something about this? Which brings me now to this. We've been hearing this on television and in the news for this past week. I support Obamacare. I know it's probably got things wrong with it that have to be corrected. The bill's about, what, 2,200 pages or something. A Supreme Court justice said, did you expect me to read this when the argument was taking place before the court? Well, if it was just Justice Scalia. If he doesn't read it and the judges don't read it, who's going to read it? That's always bothered me because I think we pay our judges to look at these things. We know our congressmen don't, but when it comes up for review, whether it's constitutional or not, proper or not, they should do their jobs. They're the big guys up on the bench, elevated, and read the paperwork before them. But that isn't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the computer screw up with Obamacare. Oh, my God. Would you believe it? I can't believe it. I can't believe that this happens with the United States government. They knew they had a big deal, this new website, the Obamacare website. They had the time to put it together. They've had 2 years. Do you know how much money it is claimed has been spent thus far on this software program? $394 million. $394 million. Now, I got to be frank. I don't know if that includes what they believe it's going to take to correct the problems, which is either $87 or another $120 million. We're talking a lot of money. We're talking just under $400 million. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Whether it costs $30 or $30 million or $400 million, it should not have shouldn't have happened. It should not be. I mean, what we put a man on the moon years ago. We invented the atomic bomb. We've got ATM machines today that you go up, you put your card in, you press a couple of buttons, and they give you all this money. They give you your money back. You can do all kinds of financial transactions with an ATM machine. Those are computer programs. We deal every day with Google, Facebook, Twitter. We have this Blog Talk radio show. And I don't understand why they couldn't do the same thing, why the government could not do what private industry has done and come up with these computer programs, which probably cost as much. I don't know because I never was that big. I had to buy a computer system for $55 person law office, which was big enough and cost me enough and enough aggravation, but we never had a glitch like they are having. It was mentioned this week that, well, you know, 20 million people in the first 3 weeks, 20 million people signed on to listen to the program or to deal with the program, to read, understand, apply. And the government makes it sound like that's a lot. Well, let me tell you something. PayPal, you've heard of PayPal. Many of you use PayPal. AOL, Wikipedia, all three of these have more than 20 million hits a month in their computer programs. And they don't have any problem. It's an occasional glitch. We could have all handled an occasional glitch, maybe 3, 4, 5. But this program sucks. I don't know if it's ever going to be, I'm laughing, but this is terrible, a $400 million error, if it's ever going to be operable, okay? I'm going to tell you this. There's one other thing that bothers me here, and this really galls my butt. I got to say it. Apparently there were two or three major contractors in putting the program together that doesn't work properly. One was Canadian. Why a Canadian company? We got Silicon Valley. We got the best people in the world preparing computer programs. We got nerds all over the place making big money who know what they are doing. We're not supposed to export jobs to a foreign country. Canada's a foreign country. We need jobs in the United States. We have plentiful, smart software people and whatever mechanical people are required to set this system up. There was no reason to farm the jobs out or a portion of the jobs out to a foreign country, and whoever made that decision should be ashamed. We've got to keep jobs here. The Obama administration says they're trying to do something about jobs having gone across the ocean. Well, here's a perfect example where, with all due respect my dear president, who I support, but I criticize you a lot lately. There's a screw up in your administration. My sense is that professionals did not deal with the computer program. Whoever was in charge, whether it was secretary, whatever her name is, or who in making the decision as to who should be selected, who should oversee the work. There should have been a clerk of the works on behalf of the United States, and they're working along with the program. Whoever made that decision didn't know what the hell they were doing either. A head or two has to roll here. It would be a disgrace if it does not, and I'm not a vindictive man, but you can't have a $400 million problem. Makes us look screwy to the whole world again, like we're inept. Somebody's got to go, and they better correct it. That's, or Obamacare could fail. It must be corrected. Which brings me now to a very interesting topic. I have talked about this infrequently recently on this show. I have talked about it in somewhat of depth on my television show, and I just wrote a lengthy article for my Conch Life column, the local newspaper here in the Keys, which will be published Thursday. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the theft of Social Security. I would call it the great theft of Social Security. They have stolen our Social Security. Hear me, friends. I'm going to give you the litany, and I'm going to give it to you right down the line. It's easily understandable. They have stolen our Social Security. And who stole our Social Security? Because it's yours and mine. You know, we put the money in during the course of our working life, and then we get a little bit back at the end. Who stole it? The government did. Legally, of course, but not rightfully. Let me put everything in proper perspective. Stay with me as I throw some figures out. The United States is $17 trillion in debt. We hear it from the Republicans all the time. Seven, it's overkilling us. It's overbearing. What's going to happen? Our poor children, our grandchildren. $17 billion in debt. Who do you think is the biggest creditor of the United States? Who do you think is the entity that the United States owes the most money to out of that $17 trillion? You've guessed it, because I'm going to tell you, it is Social Security. You heard me, Social Security. Over the years, the government has borrowed or taken, because they're never going to pay it back, so I don't think it's a borrowing. They've taken $2.7 trillion out of Social Security. A lot of money. And that's what they owe the Social Security Trust Fund, the government. $2.7 trillion. They never talk about it. You would imagine, you know, that China or Japan, who we borrow money from daily, are our biggest creditors. They're not. We only owe, I laugh when I say we only owe China $1.3 trillion and Japan $1.1 trillion. But we owe Social Security $2.7 trillion. And I want you to know, I'm upset about this. I'm upset because no one ever tells us about it. I seem to be the only one talking about it. No one, I'm a voice in the wilderness. With all due respect, I am a voice in the wilderness on this issue. I wish other people would talk about it. Only so the people in this country understand what is going on and what has been done to our monies in Social Security. The issue comes up, is Social Security solvent? Well, it depends how you look at it. When you do a financial statement and somebody owes you $2.7 trillion, that's a debt guaranteed by the government of the United States. You know, it looks pretty good. That shows that Social Security is liquid. On the other hand, if you believe in it, as I honestly do, and I think the last few presidents of the United States we have had do, the secretaries of the Treasury believe the same thing, and Congress believes the same thing. Not a penny is ever going to be paid back. They're never going to pay it back. They ain't got the money to start paying back what they took. Here's how this thing works. We have to go back to, I think it was the early 1990s. My ears may be off a little bit. But we have Bill Clinton in the White House, Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House. They're negotiating together. Remember, there came a time when Clinton lost, what was it, the Congress? I don't even know if he kept the Senate at the time. But he lost the House of Representatives. He had to negotiate. He did not have a Democratic power structure. It was the first time in 40 years the Democrats controlled the House. I think they did vote. Well, they had trouble controlling the balance in the early 90s. I'm sorry, balancing the budget. They had great difficulty balancing the budget. So they said, look, we've got all this money sitting in Social Security. Let me explain something to you. Since Social Security went into effect, Franklin Roosevelt put it together. It's a genius plan. I think it's 1935, 1937, whatever year, somewhere back around there. Every year without fail, hear what I'm saying, every year without fail, more is paid into Social Security than goes out. That money taken out of our paycheck every week and the government, the United States government also contributes a bit by law. That goes into the trust fund. It builds up, and then the checks go out to senior citizens. I'm now a senior citizen. I get a check every month. And it pays your Medicare bills. It pays SSI. It pays several plans. No matter what Social Security pays in any year up till now, there's always been money left over in the bank account of Social Security. They do not spend all they take in. Well, Gingrich and Clinton said, look, we got that money sitting there. It's called surplus money, the money that they don't have to pay out. Why are we letting it build up in an account and draw interest? Why don't we take it out and use it? So they came up with a scheme. As the money goes in, they basically take it out. And they take it from the Social Security Trust Fund and put it in the General Fund of the United States to pay bills. Now, it gets better. Not that they just take it. If you borrow money from a bank, you got to give them a note. If you borrow money from anybody, you got to sign a note that you owe the money, paperwork. The government does not give Social Security a note. Instead, they give them an IOU. They wouldn't even take an IOU in Las Vegas. The government of the United States gives Social Security a piece of paper that says, we owe you this money. And they back it up. They back it up with a security, a special security, a special bond issued by the United States government, which is redeemable by the government at some point. All part of the IOU because it's never been redeemed. And there's no way Social Security can take the United States to court and enforce the obligation because it's not a legally binding one. It's an IOU. And that every year, so sometime from the early 90s, they take out all the surplus monies. They don't care. They take it out and they use it. What the hell? Look what they've been using it for. All right? All those tax cuts for the rich that came down under Bush 2, all right, you paid for them with those surplus funds from Social Security, the money they took out. Two wars we were in were financed, 10-year wars. Both have been financed out of the Social Security Trust Fund, the monies they take over and throw into the general account. And any other thing they needed money for, we used the Social Security money. And no one ever talks about paying it back. This is what I do not understand. They don't talk about paying it back. The Social Security Trust Fund is solvent if they pay us back. Even now, it's solvent. They say it might take another 20 years for it to have a problem with what's going on now with the government, okay? I don't know. I'm not an economist. I know this from my readings. From my readings, I am told that if the government just started a 30-year plan to pay back Social Security and not take any more money out of Social Security, the fund would be 100%. It would all be back there. We're running... You know, we don't have a full tank of gas because they keep taking a quarter of the tank out or a third of the tank. Every time it's full, they grab the top. They only leave in there what's necessary to pay you and me and pay Medicare. And still there's this gigantic surplus, which they borrow with an IOU, never pay it back, and they don't have the gall, they don't have the balls to tell us what they're doing and how they're taking that money. Instead, you have these Republicans and even some Democrats, they have talking points. They're told, and they believe, because these idiots never do their homework, it seems, they believe that it's insolvent, that this is an entitlement that is dragging the government down. How can it drag the government down if it's self-sustaining? You heard me. It's our money that goes in. It's our money that pays our people back. And with whatever's left over, the government steals it legally. But they're stealing it. This is a scam. They never let us know. And I don't believe a lot of them know, because I'm beginning to question how much our legislative people really do know. And isn't this all interesting? About Social Security, they stole our money, they gave us IOUs, and they're telling us now, we got to cut your Social Security, we've got to cut your Medicare, because these things are helping to contribute to that $17 trillion, which is choking our country and will hurt our children and grandchildren. Hell, they owe us $2.7 trillion. Did you know this before I told you tonight? Some of you did, most of you did not. Okay? They don't tell us. Nothing's wrong with Social Security. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When they go into the negotiation now for the grand bargain or the great bargain, grand bargain, whatever they're calling it, they're going to come up with something to help cut the deficit. Obama's going to give in on Social Security. He's going to give in on Medicare. I'm not saying he's going to cut the programs badly, but he's going to cut them. And damn it, he shouldn't cut a penny, because there's nothing wrong with Social Security. Pay us back. And even if they don't pay us back, we can go another 10, 20 years this way. But they've got to start paying us back, and they should not cut our benefits. And the unions are absolutely correct when they say this is the case. Okay, let's move on now. Oh, I love this stuff. Something else that's interesting. I talked about this a year and a half ago. I talked when I first returned from Europe a year and a half ago, and I went back again this summer for a couple of months. I talked about it when I returned this summer. I wrote about it last year. I think I wrote an article, a column for Conk Life on this. I know I spoke of it on the TV show. What am I talking about? You recall about 8-9 months ago, Cyprus owes money to the Euro nations. The Euro community, whatever you want to call it, primarily Germany, but they didn't have the money. So the government is pressing people to come up with more money. They can't, they won't, they didn't have it. So the government, in order to pay back the loan to the Euro nation, took 30% out of everyone's savings, checking account, and certificates of deposit in excess of $100,000. At first, they were going to take it from the first penny. The people yelled and screamed. They only took it out of accounts with $100,000 or more. No paperwork, no court order, no nothing. The government told the banks, you give us this amount, boom, 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 and the banks had to do it right away. Now, you know how bad off Greece is? I keep telling you, I've spent 2 months there. You know how bad Italy is? And there's big talk now that the governments of Greece and Italy are going to grab the bank accounts. My friends in Italy are taking their money out of the bank. The trouble is, what do you do with it? You're going to have to put it under the mattress. There's no place else. I'm not a smart man. I'm not that smart. I don't know where you hide your money. If you can't keep it in the bank and it's safe, I don't know where you're going to keep it. Okay. Still, that's not the point of my discussion this evening. My point is this. If they did it in Cyprus, and they can do it in Italy, and they can do it in Greece, it can happen here in the United States. The banks can take the money. And I'm going to tell you why. Something you didn't know, I keep telling people, they look at me like I'm crazy. Once we deposit a dollar in the bank, any money in the bank, savings, checking, certificates of deposit, you know who owns that money? The minute you deposit the money in the bank, the title that you had in the money, your ownership, transfers by law automatically to the bank. You put $100 in your savings account. As soon as you hand the $100 over, the bank now owns the money. You don't own it anymore. So they can go through this chicanery and grab your money out of the bank. And all I'm telling, out of your accounts, all I'm saying is this. It's going to happen in Europe. It isn't that far across the Atlantic. It can happen here, and it will happen here if things get bad. Okay. Now, I had a terrific dissertation on oil that unfortunately I don't think I'm going to have enough time for, and that bothers me. So I'm going to save oil for next week. I've got interesting stuff on oil. And the major issue I'm going to talk about, did you know that the United States today is the largest supplier of oil in the world? We are the biggest. Do you remember just last year and 10 years ago and 20 years ago, it was the Middle East, it was Saudi Arabia, it was Iran, Venezuela and South America, recently Canada's producing oil big time. Today, without question, the United States is the largest oil supplier in the world. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, why do you think your price of gasoline's gone down in the last 4 or 5 months? We've gone from $4.15 a gallon to $3.61. You people outside of Key West are probably paying $3.25 a gallon because they clip us an extra quarter because we live so far from the mainland and everything has to be trucked in. Be that as it may, there's a lot involved we have to understand. We have to understand fracking. We have to understand crude oil. We have to understand what's going on because we are the largest supplier of oil in the world now, and we will continue to be the largest supplier of oil. And we've got to bring that $3.61 a gallon here in Key West down below $2 a gallon. And it can be done, and it will be done over a period of the next few years because we're the big boys now. But there are certain problems involved with fracking, certain problems still involved with the crude oil that have to be discussed, and I will save that for next week. Let me close on something. There are a lot of crazy laws out there. I happen to come across a few this week. A lot of crazy laws. For example, they're stupid. They're on the books. They were good law maybe when they were passed 100 years ago, 150 years ago. They're not good law anymore. But nobody took them off the books. They're still the law. In California, Ventura County, cats and dogs can only have sex. Cats and dogs can only have sex if they have a permit to do so. Hartford, Connecticut, it's illegal for a husband to kiss his wife on Sunday. It's illegal for a husband to kiss his wife on Sunday. In Florida, this is wild, only the missionary position is legal when having sex. You heard me. Only the missionary position is legal when having sex. In Kentucky, a person needs a license to walk nude on his or her property. Woof, that wouldn't fly today. Nobody can see me here. I go swimming in bare ass, but it's a crime in Kentucky. And Massachusetts, the women are going to love this. Women's rights, woof. A wife's hair belongs to her husband. It's illegal for the wife to alter her hairstyle without his permission. Okay, my good friends, it's been a wonderful evening. I hope you found it interesting. We're coming to the end of the show for tonight. I hope many of you will be listening to this archived over the course of the week. I know more than 2,000 of you listen to it in that fashion. I'm glad you do. I hope more do. If you found this interesting, please tell your friends to join us either by radio and on the archive. Once again, I thank you for joining me tonight, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Good night.